शिवाय ओम त्र्यंबकाय यजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् अरुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ओम त्र्यंबकाय यजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम ह्रीं नमः शिवाय ओम त्र्यंबकाय यजामहे सुगंधिं पुष्टिवर्धनम् उर्वारुकमिव बंधनान् मृत्योर्मुक्षीयमामृतात् ओम शांति शांति शांति। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैस्साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। कर्मयोगो नाम तृतीयोऽध्यायः। अर्जुन उवाच ज्यायसि चेत् कर्मणस्ते मता बुद्धिर्जनार्दन तत्किं कर्मणि घोरे माम् नियोजयसि केशव व्यामिश्रेणेव वाक्येन बुद्धिं मोहयसीव मे तदेकं वद निश्चित्य येन श्रेयोऽहमाप्नुयाम्। श्रीभगवानुवाच लोकेऽस्मिन् द्विविधा निष्ठा पुरा प्रोक्ता मया नघ ज्ञानयोगेन सांख्यानां कर्मयोगेन योगिनां न कर्मणामनारम्भात् नैष्कर्म्यं पुरुषोऽश्नुते न च सन्न्यसनादेव सिद्धिं समधिगच्छति न हि कश्चित्क्षणमपि जातु तिष्ठत्य कर्म कृत् कार्यते ह्यवशः कर्म सर्वः प्रकृतिजैर्गुणैः कर्मेन्द्रियाणि संयम्य यास्ते मनसास्मरन् इन्द्रियार्थान् विमूढात्मा मिथ्याचारस्स उच्यते यस्त्विन्द्रियाणि मनसा नियम्यारभतेऽर्जुन कर्मेन्द्रियैः कर्मयोगम् असक्तः स विशिष्यते नियतम् कुरु कर्म त्वम् कर्म ज्ञायो ह्यकर्मणः शरीरयात्रापि च ते न प्रसिद्ध्येद कर्मणः यज्ञार्थात् कर्मणोऽन्यत्र लोकोऽयम् कर्मबन्धनः तदर्थम् कर्म कौन्तेय मुक्तसङ्गः समाचर सह यज्ञाः प्रजा सृष्ट्वा पुरोवाच प्रजापतिः अनेन प्रसविष्यध्वम् एष वोऽस्त्विष्टकामधुक् एष वोऽस्त्विष्टकामधुक् Don't worry, we'll take care of the chanting later on. Okay, we stopped here yesterday. I said, in this Bhagavad Gita, the topic of Karma Yoga, what is Karma Yoga? Now, that is explained in these verses. And in Bhagavad Gita is, the Karma Yoga can be taken as an order, a commandment from Bhagavan. Unless we live a life of Karma Yoga, there is no way of freeing ourselves from this bondage. If the actions, we have, living a life means performing actions. There's no choice. Already we have seen. Nobody can ever remain without doing anything, even for a second. That's what we have already seen. So performance of actions is inevitable, unavoidable, which means an action performed definitely produces the result also. That is also not changeable, not unalterable, isn't it? This law of karma, that is the case, and karma palam that is produced, punyam or papam, when the fruits are there and they have to be exhausted. The fruits of actions have to be exhausted, no choice there. In order to exhaust the punya papam, we have to be born again. Therefore, this is the order. Please understand how and all. If you have lots of questions, you have, and you have to come to my regular classes. Only then it will become clear. This for people who are in the class, they can understand this. See, performance of actions is inevitable, unavoidable. No choice about performing actions. We have choice over actions, which means we can choose using our will, prayerfully, we can choose to do the right action, we can choose to refrain from wrong action. That's all we can do. But we cannot remain without doing any action at all. So once we perform actions, and as per the law of karma, definitely every karma, any karma produces the phalam, the fruit. Once the karma produces, any action we perform produces results, means, and those results of actions also have to be exhausted choicelessly. And in order to exhaust those fruits, all the fruits of all the actions are not exhausted immediately. Therefore, the fruits of actions, results of actions, take their own time to fructify. Therefore, even if this life comes to an end, if we have the fruits of results of actions which were to be exhausted, not if we have, we always have. And we have to be born again for exhausting our punya papa. This is how the life of transmigration continues to be there. Of course, we have analyzed this very clearly in other classes. I'm not elaborating on this here in this context. No choice. Then if that is, this is how it is called bondage of karma. Okay, karma bandha means what? Bondage of action, bondage of karma. What is that? You are born a human being here. You have no choice about performing actions. Even there is no choice about your being born here. You have to think about it. What choice did you have before you were born here? We did not choose to be born. You are just born. You are here. Having been born, and you are endowed with the body mind complex, and you have hunger, appetite, you have thirst, and you have your needs, and you have desires, naturally they are coming, and impelled by your desires, you are performing actions. Once actions are performed, actions produce result. The results, fruits have to be exhausted. So you exhaust some which you have brought from the previous life, and then now again you are accumulated in you. Old debts we still have. We have not yet paid our old debts. And also it's like our new government, we again accumulate new debts also. Like new fruits of results we have accumulate. Therefore, what choice do you have? To exhaust those, you know, already accumulated punya papa, the fruits of actions, you have to be born again. Once you are born again, again it continues. Again the same way how this life continues. There was a previous life like this. There was a life before that also. There was a life before that also. Never ask which was the first life. Never ask. It is cycle. Cycle means it is not in a linear process, isn't it? It is in a cyclic process. Therefore, beginningless life. And it's also endless. That is why it's a cycle of many births and deaths. So continuously, why are we very birth is determined by the fruits of actions you accumulated, you have in your account. What Shastram says. Therefore, that is called karma bandha, bondage of karma. There's no way of freeing yourself from this bondage of karma. It's continuous. So the pains and pleasures what you experience in your life are in keeping with the punya papa you have in your account. And the people you meet, associations, the relationships, the money you earn, the work, situations, they're only nimittam, they're only instrumental for you, understand, for your own punya papa to surface, for you to exhaust. That's all. Your own punya papas manifest in the form of your situations. That's why we say water comes, we say what? Prarabdha. It's all prarabdha, we say. Success comes, desirable end comes, then happily hand goes here. The failure comes and hand goes like this. That's the only difference. It's all my karma. Or it's all my karma. I did it. So that doesn't matter whether hand, your palm goes to your chest or to your forehead, doesn't matter. But anyway, we say this. It's called karma bandhanaha. It continues. How are we going to free ourselves from bondage of karma? How long will this bondage be there? As long as desires are there, passion is there, so long will there be karma. So long will there be karma phalam. So long will there be continuation of lives for exhausting your punya papa. Oh, should I give up the disease then? That is where we all go wrong. I tell you, please listen to me carefully. Desires, actions have to be performed because the desires are naturally there. Desires are part of you, the individual. You are not creating your desires, therefore you cannot undo your desires, destroy your desires. Nor can you suppress your desires. Why? You are not creating. Anything you create, you can try to undo. You are not creating anything. You are not creating your disease. And nor are you holding on to your disease like this. How I am holding on to my book now, like this. You are all not holding on to your disease like this. Let me leave the disease like this. No. You cannot give up your disease. Which means, because you are held by disease. You have to free yourself from the hold of desires. Understand? You have to free yourself from the hold of desires. How? This is why you are bound. You are bound. Understand? Desire is bound. You can push the desire away. But you are bound. Understand? Therefore, you have to free yourself from the hold of desires. நீ ஆசைகளை ஒருபோதும் விட முடியாது ஆசைகளின் பிடியில் நின்று உன்னை நீ விடுவித்துக் கொள்ள முடியும் So in order to free yourself from the hold of desires, how can you free? Only when you become free from your needs, you can free yourself from the hold of desires. As long as the needs are there, so long will there be desires. Needs mean what needs? Once you have mind, you have emotional needs. Body, biological needs, physical needs. All the needs are there. As long as needs are there, there will be desires. As long as the desires are there, you have to be performing actions. How to free myself from the needs now? How to become free from the very needs? Please understand, you can never ever free yourself from desires, unless you become free from the very needs. You have to resolve the very needs. The question comes, how long will there be needs for me? How long will there be needs? Thevaigal eduvaraikkum irukkum. The needs will be there as long as you entertain this notion. What is that? I am small, I am inadequate, I am insignificant, I am unhappy, I am a mortal, I have a very short life. No, I'm small, I'm inadequate, I'm unhappy. These notions are there. You have these notions about yourself. These are all erroneous notions. As long as these notions are there, there will be needs. Can you give up these notions? I tell you, Shastram never expects you to give up anything. Because you are not holding on to anything. These notions are also in the form of thoughts. They are part of you, the individual. how your hand is part of you, the individual, how your nail, at least nail can cut through, how your finger, how your fingers, how your toes, how your body, how your hands and legs are part of you, the individual. So also the mind is part of you, the individual. The desires, needs, they're all part of you, the individual. Understand? Similarly, the notions you have about yourself are also what? Are in the form of thoughts which are part of you. As long as these notions there, oh my God, how to then, in order to be free from the needs, I have to give up the notions. No, you cannot give up the notions, but you can correct these notions. Okay, these notions you have about yourself are wrong. Do you know about it? You do not even know that you entertain these notions. You do not even know that these notions are erroneous. You have about yourself are erroneous notions. You do not know. Very unfortunate. And you think you are right. The another problem. So first thing, that is why Shastram tells you all these, not that you want to have these notions, naturally, helplessly these notions are there. Okay? These notions, therefore the only these notions you have about yourself are erroneous. Therefore this error in the notion you have about yourself needs correction. Understand now? You have to have the corrected notions. How to have the wrong notions I have about myself, how to correct my notions? You ask this question, the very beginning class we teach this, why you have the notion you have about yourself is a wrong notion. Do you know, you all have our notions like this? Have you ever thought about it? Do you all know? I am small. That notion is there or not? That is why we compare ourselves with others. I am small in terms of looks. I am small in terms of riches. I am small in terms of position. I am small in terms of possession. I am small in terms of status. I am small in terms of looks. You know, power, influence. I am small in terms of so many things. It's natural. Everyone has this. And the Shastram says, this is the common human fundamental problem. What is that? I am small, I am inadequate, I am unhappy. This is the common human fundamental problem. We do not even know this problem. And it is because of this problem alone, you have needs. There is always sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness centered on I. Okay? Therefore, there is needs. There are needs. The needs result in desires. Desires impel you to act. And actions produce fruits. And to exhaust the fruits, you have to be born again. This is the connection. Therefore, how to free myself from this fundamental problem? How to correct the notions I have about myself? Here the question comes, why do you have wrong notions you have about yourself? Because you mistake the non-self for the self. You mistake something. Now you mistake yourself for something which you are not. Which means you mistake your own body, mind, sense, complex for yourself. Your perception of yourself is wrong. Therefore, the notions you have about yourself are also wrong. Not only your perception you have about yourself is wrong, the limitations of the non-self are superimposed upon the self. All the limitations, all the attributes, all the problems that belong to the non-self are mistaken to be your problems. This is called superimposition. Therefore, you have wrong notions about yourself. That is because very perception of yourself is wrong. You mistake yourself for something which you are not because you do not even know what you are. You do not know what you are. You know you are, definitely. You know you are. You know relatively who you are. I know I am. I know relatively what I am, who I am. Knowing relatively what I am means what? I am a Swamini. You know, Purvashram, I was in India. I come to this country. I'm living here and teaching some people. Like you all can say, I was born in Sri Lanka, in such and such a place. I lived there. I worked there. I came to this country. Like that, everyone, all of us can have our own biography, isn't it? We have our own certain things to say about ourselves. So all that you can say about yourself is what? Relative identity. Isn't it? That you know about, you know you are, and you know relatively what you are. But what Shastram says is, your relative knowledge of yourself is not enough. That is nothing. You should know what you are absolutely. It is like if you go and ask a wave, who are you? The wave will say, don't you know, I'm a wave. I'm part of this big ocean. Look at this, all my friends are the waves. But this is called relative knowledge of what the wave is. But the wave says, who are you? Suppose wave is realest wave. No? I, this wave, am water, the H2O. Suppose the wave says, and that means enlightened wave. Which means the wave knows what it is relatively, the wave knows what it is absolutely also. Understand? Therefore, it is absolutely what you are. What you are absolutely, you do not know. That is called not knowing what I am absolutely is called Atma Ajnanam, self-ignorance. And not only that we do not know, I do not know what I am. I do not know, I do not know what I am. It's about ignorant, we are all helplessly, no, innocently, but no, ignorant of our ignorance of the self. This ignorance of ignorance is another problem, isn't it? You will never attempt to know what you are if you do not know that you do not know what you are. That is why first Shastra's exposure will help you to understand this fact. What is this fact? I do not know that I do not know what I am. It is called self-ignorance. Because you do not know what I am, what you are, therefore you mistake yourself for something which you are, yourself for something which you are not. When you mistake the non-self for the self, and you mistake the limitations of the non-self as your own limitations, then you have wrong notions about yourself. I'm unhappy, I'm insignificant, I'm a mortal, I'm small, I'm inadequate, etc. And these notions result in what? Then all the time, there's a sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness centered on I. Somebody else is small, you are not going to be unhappy. Other person, no, she's not much highly educated. Other person, not that good looks. Somebody else is small means she doesn't make you unhappy, isn't it? I am small. I am not educated. In terms of knowledge, I am very small. I'm not as educated as other person is. I'm only PhD. Look what other person has, postdoctoral fellowship. Always there is something to people to compare yourself to, isn't it? Therefore, when you compare yourself, definitely this smallness will be triggered. Every time, if you are a very intelligent person, every time somebody receives any award, you watch somebody receiving an award, the smallness will be triggered. Somebody is honored, somebody is praised, your smallness will be triggered. If you are a little thoughtful person, you know, so then there's a pain. Now what I'm saying, it is very natural. Therefore, what is the root cause of this fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I? The root cause of this problem is self-ignorance. That is why having the root cause of the problem in yourself, in your own mind, and having the disease of this sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I, and all these symptoms, needs, desires, likes, dislikes, passion, understand? All these are what now? Symptoms of this disease. Understand? So here, once this desire is there, desire becomes fulfilled, new desire comes. Desire will never end. That is why desire is said to be insatiable, no, fire. We fulfill one desire, it will, new desire will come. Desire is always in the form of likes and dislikes. I want this to happen, I want this not to happen. I want to get this, I want to get rid of this. Isn't it? Desire is twofold. Like is also desire, one side of a desire. Dislike is another side of a desire. Twofold. Desire is twofold. We call them raga and dvesha. Therefore, the raga dveshas. So they always impel you what now? To get rid of something also you have to perform action. To get something also you have to perform action. Anyway, desire makes you act. And the desire, say if you fulfill your desire, perform actions, fulfill your desires. A new desire comes. New desire comes. That is the nature of the desire. Okay? Desire will always, that's why it's called Dushpuraha Analaha. It's like a forest fire. The fire comes a little bit, it goes and really catches fire. The whole forest will get immediately. Isn't it? This Dushpuraha Analaha means insatiable fire. It's set. Therefore, and the desire is natural, very natural. That's why don't ever try to give up disease. Okay? Understand why disease is. And these diseases, if it is not fulfilled, it will result in what? Anger. Always unfulfilled desire or obstructed desire gets converted into anger. Then the more you fulfill your desire and the more you want to fulfill the desire. So greed, kama, krodha, lobha, then moha also. Then you just even, you don't even see what you, the desire impels you so much. There's moha, delusion, this lack of discriminative understanding of what is right and what is wrong also. Because the desire is blinds your eyes so much that you can't even see that whether it's right or wrong. Moha. You don't even think, you know what is right and what is wrong, but you have no time to think whether it's right or wrong, or should I do it or not. It's just moha. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, then mada. Once you fulfill anything, it's a pride. I completed it. And somebody else achieves, you have not attained, matsaryam, jealousy. Understand, I tell you, it is how, that is why the sixfold, you know, enemies, they're said to be sixfold enemies. They're all emotions, very natural. No, I don't have all of them. We don't need to say, all of us naturally have. Who does not have cold? Tell me, this cold weather. Everybody has some cold, isn't it? Come cold, some cough and some like that. The proportion, degree may vary from person to person. All these are in all of us naturally, like how our common cold is there. Common cold and headache are very natural. Which head hasn't Oh, what is headache? I never knew what headache is. Put up your hands here. Who never had a headache at all, at least in this age. We all had it. Don't worry, it's not get it now. I'm just telling. Very natural, I'm saying. See, don't need to feel guilty. I'm helping you to understand these problems. We don't need to feel guilty. Understand? Therefore, these are all naturally there. And all the time, you are mentally disturbed. This raga dveshas, continuously being there is what was called. This antakarna shuddhi means what? This is what mental purity means. Relatively becoming free from this emotions, free from the hold of raga dveshas, is mental, relative mental purity. So these all will be there. Absolute mental purity will be possible only in the wake of knowledge. Therefore, these being there, sajnanam is the root cause. Therefore, there's no disease, and you'll be doing actions, and you'll be accumulating punya papa, you'll be born again. So keeping the ignorance safe underneath, whatever your karma you do, karma itself is a product of ignorance. Do you understand that? Karma is what? What is the cause of the action? Desire. What is the cause of the desire? Need. What is the cause of the need? Wrong notions about the self. Sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness centered on I. What is the cause for the wrong notion? Erroneous self-perception. What is the cause of erroneous self-perception? Self? Ignorance. Therefore, understand, self-ignorance is the root cause of your desires and actions. How can, therefore, if you perform actions which is the product of ignorance, the action, how can action or the result of action will remove the ignorance? No. Understand? Therefore, that is why ignorance is the root cause means. So to become free from bondage, what should you do? Self-knowledge is the only means of moksha. Even though I have already spoken to you, talked to you these things, I want to make it very clear in this context. Therefore, now you understand the value of the self-knowledge. Therefore, you want to be committed to the pursuit of this knowledge. And what Shastram says, that's very nice. You are committed to the pursuit of self-knowledge. Knowing the value of knowledge, you are only when you become committed to the pursuit of knowledge. I've been telling you every day, you become a spiritual person. Unless and until you become committed to the pursuit of self-knowledge, I want to know the truth, I want to know what I am, that urge is not there, you are not at all spiritual. Understand? Even if you worship and pray also, unless this urge for knowledge of the self is not there, you will not become, you cannot claim yourself to be a spiritual person at all. You can be religious, but still you are not spiritual. Therefore, this is this knowledge, isn't it? For this knowledge, what you need is, mind must be relatively pure and steady in order to, isn't it, to know the truth. Because mind is the instrument you have to use. It is the mind where the knowledge has to rise, isn't it? For the knowledge to rise, you all know it's such a simple thing. Even somebody is talking to you, you must be attentive. You must be able to listen, grasp what other person says. Only then you can really understand what the person is saying. Even simple, ordinary conversations, our dialogues, and then communications need attention and need some concentration and focus. Means what to talk of is Shastra subject matter, self-knowledge. How focused you must be. No, without being focused, without being attentive, without having certain commitment, you can't study any degree. You can't study anything. You can't gain any knowledge. And what to talk of self-knowledge? You need really mental purity. Why mental purity? Because these raga dveshas will disturb you, distract your mind like anything. That is why one needs to manage one's raga dveshas. One needs to have relative mental purity and steadiness. In order to become mentally absolutely pure and steady, you need to have what now? You need to be relatively pure and steady, for which you need to live a life of karma yoga. Is it clear now? You need to live. You have no choice. What choice do you have other than knowledge? Many paths do not lead to the same goal. Your bondage, isn't it? All that you want is freedom from unhappiness, freedom from sorrow, which means the only means you have is what? Knowledge. Because ignorance is the cause for your bondage. How many choices are there? How many means do you need for freeing yourself from bondage of karma? Now you know what is bondage of karma, don't you? To free yourself from karma bandha, what else can you do? What do you need to do? Just you need to resolve the self-ignorance. Okay? To resolve the self-ignorance, you need to know what you are. Knowing what you are is the only solution to resolve your ignorance. Resolving ignorance is the only way to resolve the fundamental problem of sense of inadequacy, sense of smallness centered on I. Once this problem is resolved, the needs will resolve, desires will resolve, everything. You don't need to undo, push your diseases away. They'll all resolve themselves. It is like when the disease is cured, when the cause of the disease is removed, proper medicine, then the disease gets cured. The disease is cured. You need not work hard to remove the symptoms. Disease is removed, symptoms become removed naturally. That is why it's called Bhava Rogaha. You know that? Bhava Rogaha. Piravi Pini. In Tamil also we say Pini. It's a disease. And what is that medicine you need? Jnanam is the only aushadam. That is why Vaidyanatha Swami, Bhagavan, is the doctor who can give you in the form of Dakshinamurti. He can, as a teacher, he can give you the medicine of knowledge. Jnanam is, knowledge is the medicine which will remove the root cause of the disease. And the disease will go along with the disease. Disease caused symptoms also will resolve, which is called freedom from bondage. Therefore, Arjuna, you have no choice. That is why I am lokaha karma bandhanaha. You understand? You will ever be bound by karma. So living a life of karma is the only way to prepare your mind for knowledge. That's how knowledge is the only means for freedom from karma bandhana, karma bandhaha, bondage of karma. This is the commandment of Krishna in this verse. Okay? You might have seen how it's a repetition of things, but still you need to listen to this in a different context, so it becomes very clear. Hope you understood very well. This morning one doctor asked me, how our mind gets stuck with anything we involve ourselves in, so will our minds get stuck with this pursuit of self-knowledge also? Shastra study also. He was a little worried. I said, don't worry. It's not that easy, isn't it? There's a lot of punyam to come to this. That is why don't think karma yoga means, karma yoga does not mean giving up everything and going away. So real spiritual person need not give up anything. Understand what it means by being a spiritual, means what it means by saying it to be spiritual. then being spiritual means living a life of karma yoga, means living a proper way of life. Is it? Then the life becomes worship. So karma yoga is a converts a life into a life of worship. Therefore, that is why you can achieve everything in life, not only moksha. Karma yoga will help you tap Bhagavan's grace to accomplish artha, kama, dharma, to live this life. Ultimately, it bless you with it bless you to accomplish moksha also. Bless you with moksha through the preparation of your mind for knowledge. Understand? That we saw. We're going to see that. Now, you can see karma yoga becomes a worship also. That is said here. Now, karma yoga as an order we have seen. Now, you can see in these following verses, karma yoga is presented as worship. Worship means what? In English, Sanskrit language, we have these words, yajnaha, yagaha. In Tamil, also you say, vajibadu, vandanam, no, pujanam, puja. There are so many words. So worship is actually an act of offering. So an act of offering means you are the offerer as the devotee. Every individual is an offerer. And Bhagavan is the one who is offered to. And here we should not feel very proud. Oh, I am offering, Bhagavan is receiving. There is no such a thing called real offering. Because we know all that is here is almighty, all pervasive, omnipotent, omniscient, Lord. Who are you to give? How small, tiny you? You are not outside of Bhagavan. And how can you give anything to? It is like the wave saying, no, I am giving little water to the ocean. Understand? Like that. It's like that. Therefore, we can never really give anything to Bhagavan. But we ourselves are Bhagavan. We are not part, isn't it? We are outside of Bhagavan. If everything is Bhagavan, where are you? Therefore, there is no real offering. This offering is a symbolic act of offering. So worship is a symbolic act of offering. Then here the question comes, why should we have this symbolic act of offering? Because always this act of offering, whenever an action is a symbolic action, through that action something subtle is revealed. Something subtle is revealed. If you ask me, what do you mean by saying something subtle is revealed? What do you mean by that? If you ask me, I can tell you. Suppose a child from your neighbor house comes to you and tells, Auntie, today is my birthday. Some child comes and as a grown-up person, you see, oh, birthday, okay. You won't say that. You have certain warmth and the care, the concern, some love you have for the child. Something, you know, you can't give your documents, the house documents to the child. But something you want to express, some sort of, you know, that happy feeling you have, immediately you want to express you have warmth in your heart, mind. You want to express it. You have the warmth, but you don't say anything. Doesn't become revealed, isn't it? It's called subtle. What is subtle? The child cannot see that you have that warmth and care, the concern for the child. The child cannot see your mind. So that needs expression. Understand? What you have in your mind needs expression. What do you do? Immediately, if you have some roses in your house, give one rose. Has a biscuit packet or some, oh, I don't have anything. Will you hug and cuddle and give one kiss? Don't do elders. if it's children, I'm saying, then, then, or you take get a packet of, suppose, a biscuit, packet of biscuits, or some chocolates, something, whatever you have in your house, or 10 pounds, 11 pounds, something, you give, happy birthday, wish you all the best, and many, many happy returns. All nice, even though you have so much of problems, so many problems, that day, just then, just before, sometime back, you had some problem in your house, but even then, for 1 second, you show, you cover everything. You cover your face completely, cover all your problems, just because upstairs, you had some small, you know, some sort of a big argument between, okay, whoever it was in the family, and you come down, the child comes to give you chocolate. Immediately you show everything, you don't show any such thing, you don't show anything, immediately you give the child something, happily give some chocolate or something, you send. This is an action which expresses your warmth, care and concern. Okay, similarly, here also, this act of offering to Bhagavan also, you can't give everything. What if the chocolate you give will not, it's not going to help the child to live the whole life, isn't it? But that warmth is something different. Similarly here, when you offer something to Bhagavan, that act of offering, you express your gratefulness, gratitude to Bhagavan. For what? For all that you are blessed with. Your eyes can see, thanks, number one. Ears can hear. Recently, I was listening to some bhajans. There's one famous Vittal Das Swami bhajans are there in India. When they have bhajans, a huge, big audience come and they listen to the bhajans. Very nice. They are sampradaya bhajan singers. And then that person who sings, he was telling, you're all Koteshwaras. Know why you're Koteshwaras? Your kidney functions, 5 lakhs. Your heart functions well, 5 lakhs. Like that he was telling. So if you calculate everything, everyone, you're all blessed with what? Such a great wealth. So for which you have to be thankful to Bhagavan. Everything functions properly, first thanks to Bhagavan. Then you're able to eat food, you're able to get food, you have a shelter, you are not shivering in the cold weather. My God, what you do not have, later on you can see, you can pray, beg Bhagavan, give me that. You can always beg. But first you see what all you are blessed with, for which say one big thanks to Bhagavan, isn't it? Therefore, once you think about it, you're able to eat food, able to get food. Now, people may think, oh, all the time food? Food is the most important thing. Without food, what can we achieve in life, isn't it? Even though London, you can't grow anything here in this cold weather. Rajneesh always will have upset that I say this in the cold weather. You can't see one leaf on the tree. What can you grow here? Now you are importing food from all over the world, from Africa, India, China, everywhere. All these countries are importing food. Even for you to go throw some pounds and buy the food and come back and eat and still comfortably staying inside, all sorts of food you are getting here. Who gives you? People are exporting here. Exporting means from there, for them to be able to export, they must be able to grow there. For them to grow there, they need what? They are at the mercy of all these natural phenomena. Sun, moon, stars, rain. Without sun, okay, there can't be, the agriculture, the products will not be possible if all these devatas, the water. You had to be thankful to water. You had to be thankful to Mother Earth. Be thankful to sun. You had to be thankful to all the trees. You had to be thankful to all the phenomena. I tell you, the food you eat, the dress clothes you wear, the shelter you live, everything you are grabbing, taking from the Mother Nature. And we don't see the nature as just the bundle of energy alone. Everything, we see everything as devata, the manifestations of Bhagavan. So all these natural phenomena are looked upon as devatas, and those devatas bless you with all that you are enjoying. We never think about, we are not at all sensitive. We had to be really, really, really very sensitive to see this fact. But for the mercy of these devatas, contribution of devatas, we cannot survive here. All that we are enjoying here, we take all the raw materials we take from nature and we make use of it. Understand? We live comfortably. Nothing can we produce here. Please understand, we are not creating anything on our own. Everything you take, raw material, you take it from nature only. Therefore, when we think, we become very, very humble and we become what now, very grateful, and you feel grateful to Bhagavan. You express your gratitude through that act of offering. That's why it's called symbolic act of offering. Okay, and this action you don't do mechanically, with great reverence, with great shraddha, and with great reverence, great shraddha, and when you do it with all humility, when you do it, and this thoughtful action, isn't it? Expression of one's gratitude through this symbolic act of offering is a very thoughtful action, because you acknowledge the contribution of the devatas, and not little, abundantly they contribute. Therefore, this acknowledging, you recognize your recognition, your acknowledgement of the abundance of contribution of devatas for your own living, for your well-being, you acknowledge it, you become grateful and you express your gratitude through this symbolic act of offering. Because it is a thoughtful action, it is a will-involved action, it produces phalam also. It is very effective. It produces the result. And what is the result? The more you worship, the more you express your gratitude, the more you propitiate devatas. The more you propitiate, means the more you acknowledge, and the more you will be propitiated by the devatas. I mean, you will be blessed by devatas. That is why you do not know the secret. This is the real secret. Veda Shastra, in Karma Kanda of the Veda, so many rituals are prescribed, to different devatas, Agnihi, Vayuhu, Indraha. For all these devatas, we perform rituals. In Vedic times, we had this Yajnaha. So performance of fire ritual is a form, Vedic form of worship. Vedic form of worship is what? In kindle fire and offer oblations, perform the fire ritual. Velvi, Yajnaha, Yagaha. And substitute for that fire ritual is what nowadays what we do in temples, we should do Abhishekam. So substitute, that is the meaning. Not that we go and pour everything and then, not like simply pouring and wasting, not to show that it is my puja, so I have paid money. No, when you give it with all humility, little you give, that's okay, fine, isn't it? The substitute. So Abhishekam is a substitute for this fire ritual, which is a given form of worship. It's a form of worship. So we have different forms of worship. Vivere Vidamana Vaibhattu Murehal, isn't it? Either you can have a priest and offer kindle fire and offer oblations, that is the fire ritual. On temples, we do Abhishekam. Or at home, every day you light the lamp, offer some milk and water, do a namaskaram, that is a form of worship. And not only you are not satisfied, and you sing kirtans, you sing bhajans, you chant shlokas, you recite mantras. All these things, I'm not saying sit and do the whole day singing. At least sometime, thoughtfully, sit. It's all part of the, it's all the karma anga. Singing, chanting, reciting, cooking naivedyam, offering. It's all many units of actions which constitute one act of worship. Is it clear now? So we have different forms of worship. In Vedic period, we had predominantly performance of rituals. 5 rituals. And how to perform the ritual, what all the ahutis should be offered. Now, which is the devata to be invoked? By invoking this devata's great grace, what benefit we get? Everything is, everything you can understand from the Karmakanda of the Veda. And therefore, we have these rituals prescribed in the Karmakanda. Therefore, Krishna says here, understand? This will bless you with prosperity. In Tamil we say, Valam Peruga Vazhipadu. If you want to be prosperous, not only moksha, artha, kama, you want selvam, that is why dhanam, dhanyam, pashum. Nowadays you may not ask for pashu. In India we ask for cattle wealth also. Dhanam, dhanyam, samruddhi, dhanya samruddhi. Abundance of food, dhanyam, pashum, cattle wealth, milk. Namukku romba sampath. So dhanam, dhanyam, pashum, bahu putra labham. Why? For the perpetuation of family, we want also what? Bahu putra labham. The shata samvatsaram pottunu poyidakudade. We want long shata samvatsaram, full span of life. Deerghamayuhu. Why does the priest say this when you go to the temple? Dhanam dhanyam pashum bahuputra labham deerghamayuhu. All this you want. All this you can get. How? By through this act of worship. So leave moksha one side. For artha kama, to live this life, all the prosperity you want to live this life, isn't it? To enjoy, even to enjoy the good pleasures, you need good health. Even that is wealth. Health is wealth. Or you can enjoy pleasures. Enjoyment of pleasures is possible only if you're healthy. So enjoyment of pleasures, the desired objects of pleasures, and good health, and all the wealth, so the artha kama in general, all that you will be blessed with. If you worship, understand, this is the purpose of worship. And not only you will be blessed with all this, even you perform this also with the purushartha nischaya, when you perform this with the commitment, living life dharma, with the proper attitude, Ishwarpana buddhi, having prasada buddhi to face everything in life, and this will bless you with what? Mental purity and steadiness also. It's like not only one benefit, prosperity for life, mental purity and steadiness, then later on it will bless you with the burning urge for knowledge. Thereby it will bless you with the commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. It will bless you with attainment of knowledge. Thereby it will bless you with the moksha also. Okay? So the karma yoga can be seen as worship also. That is what is said here. It's all preparation for the verses I'm going to do. Okay? So because the previous verse he said, mentioned this word kama dhuk. Perform these rituals. These rituals are what? Performance of these rituals. The knowledge of these rituals, performance of rituals, and the performance of these rituals is like what? It's like a kama dhuk, kama dhenu. The wish fulfilling cow, it will fulfill all your wishes means what? How is going to fulfill your wishes? That is said in these verses. Devan bhavayata nena. Te deva bhavayantu vaha. Parasparam bhavayantaha. Shreyah paramavapsyatha. You see, See, many things I might have talked to you already in different contexts, but you have to connect them with the verses here. Jesus, Krishna saying, Devan Bhavayata. Bhavayata means, may you propitiate devas. Devas means who? Don't think of devas with the kritam, gada and all of them. Here you understand, devaha means the Lord's manifestation. The manifestation of the reality is called devaha, the shining. In what form does Bhagavan shine? Anything which is taken to be the form of Bhagavan is said to be devaha. Okay, Bhagavan are not one form. Sun is one form, moon is one form. Like that you can say everything is one form. So any natural phenomenon is devata or devaha. He says, may you propitiate Bhagavan in the form of these devatas. All the phenomena, who bless you with all that you need. Therefore, Devan Bhavayata. How can you, how can you propitiate your devatas? Through the act of offering. Some people come and ask me this. If we perform, if we offer, Vayave Swaha, if we offer the oblations like that, suppose I appoint a priest and priest performs the ritual, we give dakshina, so he says, Vayave Swaha, Agni Swaha. If we does the ritual, does Agni know that I am offering? Idivera kelvi. Does fire know this? A, nobody needs to know. Understand? This you are doing this action, you acknowledge the contribution and you feel grateful, you express your gratitude through the act of offering. And what can you offer? What all the devatas have blessed you with, Bhagavan of devatas have blessed you with, a little of what you have got, you offer back, that you are going to give it to him, okay? You are going to take it back also. Offer it, and then after offering, do namaskaram, bow to Bhagavan and take it with all reverence as prasada. So here also when you do, so don't expect whether they return, talk to you or not. See, the Agni may not talk back to you. Thank you very much. Agni may not tell this. Vayu may not say this. But definitely your action is also acknowledged. Your recognition is recognized. Your acknowledgement will be acknowledged. Understand? This way, how to propitiate devatas? Through the performance of rituals. Oh, I can't perform rituals. That is why I say, living a life of karma yoga itself is what? Every action, small action you do becomes worship. If you perform it with proper attitude, isn't it? It is yajna. So living life of karma yoga itself is yajna. And when you perform these rituals, if you can't perform rituals, I'm not saying every day you should perform rituals. What I'm saying, at least know the value of people whoever organized those rituals. Even if they do not know the value, you sit there and then pray to Bhagavan, thank, when our priests are doing mantras. Even if you don't understand, doesn't matter. Hey Bhagavan, in the form of all the devatas, salutations to you. Just think of them. It is good. Therefore, even if every day what you can do at home, at least you can light the lamp, then offer something, whatever you have, offer on flower, patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, a fruit or leaf or water, what is possible? At least do a namaskar. Okay? That is also an expression of your gratitude to Bhagavan. That is why we always fall flat. We don't know, fall flat. In fact, falling flat is the best thing. It's a symbolic act of offering oneself to Bhagavan. Know that? You can't give anything more than offering yourself. Why? The offerer himself is offered means offering comes to an end. You are not there as an offerer to be offered, to offer anything anymore. You have offered yourself to Bhagavan, you have gone to Bhagavan's side. Understand? In fact, doing namaskar means offering one's own self to Bhagavan symbolically. Just the thanks. Just take me. Which means, actually you ask for jnanam. When you offer namaskaram to Bhagavan, what is the prayer implied? Oh Lord, when you offer, you express your gratitude and the prayer is implied. Thank you very much for all that you have given and please see that we always get everything, all these things. Hey Bhagavan, please bless us always like this. Keep us always prosperous, healthy like this. The prayer also is implied there. Understand? Please understand, this is a will-involved action. Therefore, it is effective. Don't think it is not useful. Don't think it is not effective. Never, it's highly significant, efficacious. Okay. Therefore, and here he says, Devan Bhavayata. Anena, no, you propitiate devatas. Anena te devaha vaha bhavayantu. If you propitiate devatas, and those devatas also will propitiate you in return. How they will also propitiate you in return? Parasparam bhavayantaha. How will you? If you get good rains, that is result of prayer, worship. If you get food, result of worship. Okay? Always this way. Parasparam, there will be prosperity. There won't be poverty. That's why parasparam bhavayantaha. Mutually propitiating. You propitiate devatas, devatas propitiate you in return. Parasparam bhavayantaha. Then you live, what now? You live a life of contribution, life of sharing, life of dharma, life karma yoga. You know, living life karma yoga means what now? Living in harmony with the universal law and order, because our lives are interconnected. Our lives are connected with all the beings here. Don't think our lives are not connected only to my family. All our lives are connected to all the beings here. We have connections with the trees, forests, woods, mountains, rivers, the sky, space, all the stars, the constellations, other galaxies, and even here, all the beings that are here, the animals, the birds, you know, all the living beings, all the non-living things, our lives are connected to all that are here, because we are part of the whole cosmos. All of us are, you know, part, interconnected. Therefore, we have to live our lives in harmony with universal law and order. Universal natural law and order. How can you live in, when you are living in this, no? How can you live in harmony with universal law and order? Suppose if I ask you, come on, all of you sing bhajans. And all of you sing in one voice, it sounds nice. One person, apaswaram. How will it be? It affects the whole arc. Whole singing will not sound good, isn't it? It will spoil the whole thing. Therefore, what I'm saying, always there must be harmony, maintenance of universal harmony is very, very important. Only then what? You can be peaceful, others also can be peaceful. People think, I'm really working, I'm praying for the world peace. Hey, come on, you take care of your peace first. You think of the world peace later on. You are so agitated and restless and you think of the world peace. First you take care of your peace. Are you peaceful? Are you okay? Isn't it? I'm not saying you should not pray for world peace. We had to pray for world peace, but you understand we are so helpless. Let me take first, you work for your own peace also. Never ever neglect yourself. Put yourself first. In fact, you're already putting yourself first. Your happiness is the first for you. That is why any service, social service activities, anything you do is ultimately for your own happiness. There is no such a thing called selfless service at all. Everything ultimately, that you are selfless means you are by your contribution, by your service, by contribution of time, energy, money, through your service, you are selflessly selfish. or selfishly selfless. Okay, selfishly, ultimately you expect your happiness. There is happiness for you, joy for you. That is why you are doing. So any self service is very, very good. Loka seva, nara seva, narayana seva, manusha seva, madhava seva, fantastic. We can do all services. Understand, even service you do is for your own happiness. Ultimately, isn't it? Which means you are intelligently selfish. If you spoil others' happiness and you took off your happiness, means you are foolishly selfish. Isn't it? Therefore, selfishness, isn't it? That's how we have to see. Anyway, that is not my thing. What I want to say here, this karma yoga, only by living a life of karma yoga, you are not disturbing, you are not rubbing against this universal law and order. There is stillness in the universal law and order. So when you live your life in conformity with dharma, with proper attitude as yoga, the small little action you do, your life is such a small, tiny person. Tiny means what? In the whole jagat, we are nobody. Every one of us is like a small, tiny dot, isn't it? So our own small, like how do you see ant? When the ant is crawling, taking its small particle, the food granule, the particle, pushing it, the ant moves. How do you see? For the ant, it's a very big job. You know that? Parasite is nothing. Because ant also is nothing. Like that, we are nothing in the whole in the scheme of things. We are nothing. Understand? So our actions, but I tell you, our actions, every small action, whenever we are not living a life of dharma, when you do not live a life of karma yoga, we are disturbing the universal harmony. Therefore, we have to live a life of dharma, life of karma yoga, in order to live in tune with, understand, in tune with, in harmony with the universal natural law and order. This God, this is what yendu vaazhudhal, iraivanodu yendu vaazhudhal, isaipada vaazhudhal means apaswarma vaazhama. Understand, you have to live in tune with Bhagavan, the universal law and order. How? When you live a life of karma yoga, and when you are thoughtfully, gratefully, being worshipful itself means one lives one's life gratefully, expressing one's gratitude to being worshipful means being grateful to Bhagavan. Understand? That's what he says. So the worship can be whatever is possible. You can worship the way it is possible for you to do worship. And the Bhagavan says here, talks about the performance of ritual. Thereby, by living this life in conformity, by living a life of worship, by living a life of karma yoga, worship through your worshipping Bhagavan in the form of devatas, through the act of offering, you are living a life in harmony with the universal law and order. Thereby, in due course of time, Bhagavan, you will be blessed with relative mental purity and steadiness. You will be blessed with the clarity. You will be blessed with the viveka. Vivekaha, that you will be blessed with the urge for the knowledge also, which means you will be blessed with the knowledge at last. We become qualified for knowledge, thereby you will be able to attain knowledge, thereby finally you will attain moksha. Say, hey Arjuna, live a worshipful, prayerful life of karma yoga, thereby prepare your mind for jnanam, attain jnanam, and param shreyaha avapsyatha. Param shreyaha avapsyatha. Param shreyaha means what now? absolute good, the moksha. Param shreyaha here means mokshaha. Avapsyata, you will attain absolute shreyas, the moksha. How? By living a worshipful life. Living a worshipful life means what? Not simply singing bhajans and then doing pujas. Living a life of karma yoga. For its ecological balance, ecological harmony, for the universal harmony. Now what happens, suppose once you perform rituals, you perform pujas, you worship the Lord, the act of offering, then devatas become propitiated. The propitiated devatas will do what? They'll bless you with prosperity. That is the benefit of the worship is said in this mantra, this particular verse, 12th verse. Ishtan bhogan hi vo devah. Bhogan hi vo devah. Dasyante yajna bhavita. Tair dattana pradayaibhyo. Yo bhunkte stena eva saha. Ishtan bhogan hi vo devaha. Dasyante yajna bhavitaha. Tair dattana pradayaibhyo. Yo bhunkte stena eva saha. So if you propitiate devatas and those devatas propitiated by you, yajna bhavitaha devataha. Yajna bhavitaha devataha means what? Devatas who were propitiated by you through the performance of rituals, through the act of offering. What will you dasyante? Those devatas will give you. Dasyante means what? They will definitely give you. They will give you what? Ishtan bhogan. All the desired objects of enjoyment. All that you want. All that you desire. Ishtan bhogan. Not anishtan bhogan. Okay? Ishtan bhogan dasyante. They'll bless you with the fulfillment of all your desired ends. Some people should believe what Swamiji says or not. Doubt comes. Doubt comes, it won't work. Isn't it? Ishtan bhogan devaha dasyante. Devaha dasyante. These devatas will bless you, will give you. What will they give you? All full, with the fulfillment of all your desired ends. Ishtan bhogan. All the desired objects of enjoyment, objects of pleasures. Desired ends. Ishtan bhogan includes what? Whatever you desire. All your righteous wishes will be fulfilled. Righteous wishes will be fulfilled. Isn't it? A karma yogi can never think of harming anybody. Therefore, ishtan bhogan dasyante, those devatas propitiated by you will bless you with the fulfillment of all your desired ends, wishes. Now, because they give you have to understand, I do not produce, I cannot produce oxygen. I breathe, I consume. I cannot produce one grain of rice or any of anything, any grain, any one vegetable, one leaf. I eat, I consume. The space I occupy, you know, I enjoy everything here. Therefore, I take everything. I grab everything. Therefore, I consume. So, I should contribute also. My contribution must be in proportion with what I consume. It should be much more than what I consume. At least little more than what I consume. At least what I consume. If I do, I consume, no contribution at all on my part means. Contribution means don't think that you have to go and wash everybody. So at least you know, you do something for what you are earning, isn't it? Therefore, my contribution must be in proportion with what I consume. Therefore, that is why this, the benefits, government benefits, the idea, you can think for yourself. I don't know what, isn't it? Therefore, if they genuinely, they need so, otherwise really, it's all against dharma. To be frank, elderly people, sick people, no, invalid people who really need help, okay. But young people who are healthy here and healthy, energetic, they should do something to. Something they should do. Some service actually they should do. Isn't it? Simply sitting at home and then eating, isn't it? Anyway, so here. Contribution must be in proportion with what one consumes. Therefore here, suppose if only I enjoy everything, somehow I eat, somehow I drink, somehow I manage everything, but what is your contribution back? I do not worship, I do not feel thankful to anything, I'm so gross, I do not even think how much I'm supported, how much I'm given here. How much I am given here, what all I am enjoying, what is my creation, what is my effort, you know, to get these things. How much, we don't think about it. Therefore, we were thoughtlessly, not thinking about it, not being grateful to Bhagavan, not being grateful to Devatas, not contributing at all anything, only if I consume. And here, Krishna says, such people who only consume without contributing anything in return, devatas, they are as good as, they are thieves, not as good as, they are thieves. Don't think thieves means you had to go and really steal something somewhere. Isn't it? Breaking the lock and going and then taking something, that alone is not theft. Isn't it? Even such people also, thieves only. Stena eva saha. That person is really a thief. Know why? Because he takes everything, he enjoys everything, but his contribution is nothing back to it. Therefore, tebhyaha. Those who are not worshipful, those who do not live a life of karma yoga, those who are not worshipful to Bhagavan, those who do not, you know, express their gratitude to Bhagavan in the form of this phenomena, the devatas, those people are mere consumers. Those who do not do any service to any of these people, the beings of the society, in the world, and they are only consumers. Therefore, yebhyaha apradaya, taihi dattan, Taihi dattane ebhyaha apradaya yaha bhunte. One who eats, one who enjoys all that these devatas give, without giving anything in return to them, without giving anything back to the devatas, the one who eats only what the devatas give, enjoys everything all the devatas give, but he does not give return anything back to the devatas, such a person, saha stenaha eva. No, saha stenaha. Stenaha means, it's a thief. So you can see now, for ecological balance, for universal harmony, and for prosperity, to live in harmony with the universal law and order, it is very important to live a worshipful life, a life of worship, a life of yajna. Understand? So karma yoga is very important. So here Bhagavan presents karma yoga as worship. First you have seen what? Karma yoga as commandment. Now you see karma yoga as worship. Yajna. Okay. Yajna sishtashina santaha. Muchyante sarva kilbishaihi. Bhunjate te twagham papaha. Ye pachantyatma karanat. Yajna sishtashina santaha. Muchyante sarva kilbishaihi. Bhunjate te twagham papaha. Ye pachantyatma karanat. Before entering into this verse, a karma yogi can live his life, who lives a life of karma yoga, can follow pancha maha yajnas. Shastram prescribes pancha maha yajnaha for a person to live a life of karma yoga. What are these panchamaha yajnaha? How to contribute for Bhagavan in the form of devatas? Perform these five rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda, or you perform worship, you know, in your own possible way. There's a different thing here. Deva yajnaha. Deva yajnaha. Worship of the Lord. Every day, morning, evening, you know, of course, this way for men, Trikal Sandhya Vandanam also is prescribed. This is a different thing. Every day worshipping the Lord. What I said, what you do at home every day, already you are doing. Deva Yajna, worship of the Lord. Where you, through which, do namaskaram, offer, you know, light the lamp and offer some naivedyam, whatever is possible. Then you express your thanks to Bhagavan and pray to Bhagavan to bless you with, you know, all that you need to fulfill, all that you need to have in this life. Deva yajna. Then, manushya yajna. Manushya yajna means what? So, worship of the Lord. How can you worshipping the Lord in the form of fellow human beings? Manushya yajna. Worshipping the Lord in the form of fellow human beings means what? Not going and doing namaskaram like this. Doing the needful. So the people, the human beings, our own fellow human beings who are in need of some help. No? So whatever is possible for you, service to the human beings in possible way, in keeping with their requirement, in keeping with your capacity. How much to do? Who to do? The questions all will come. So, you know, in keeping with their requirements, in keeping with your possibility, now you can serve our fellow beings. So doing the needful with presence of mind in given situation for any human being, also what? Manushya yajna. Service to the people. Then third is Bhuta Yajnaha. A not service not only to the fellow human beings, fellow beings, all the other living beings. What is Bhuta Yajnaha? All the beings, animals, plants, you know, being kind, compassionate to all the living beings. That is why, you know, even to pluck a leaf, you should be sensitive. It will cause pain. That must be there. Then, okay, but I'm not saying it is, you should not pluck it, but there must be some prayer. There must be some worshipful nature, isn't it? That is why even India, those days, there's a ritual called Agrayanam. Agrayanam is a specific ritual we used to perform before the harvest, we start harvesting the crops. Know why? Before the harvest season, thanking Bhagavan, this ritual is performed, then you start harvesting. That you harvest what? Only the ripe, all the plants would have become dead actually. The ripe, when the rice and all they cut, used to do that. Which means Bhuta Yajnaha means, you know, being kind and compassionate and doing the needful, helpful to all other beings, watering the plants, you know, feeding the animals. We also, all the old, unwanted breads and biscuits, we take and feed the birds. And in the park, they put this, please don't bring anything made of white bread, anything white. They put that, and then you against the thing, you go and, because you, it's just fun for you. That is not Bhuta Yajnaha. Bhuta Yajnaha means, with all reverence, with all humility, with all compassion, you really, genuinely feed the needy, animals and plants also. The Bhuta Yajna means we not only we are kind to, at least you don't cause pain, not hurting any pain to the, even animals, other animals. We can know, you must be very sensitive. You can't really cause any hurt to any living being. Anyway. So, in India, we have this, this example I give you. When we put rangoli, in this country you can't put any rangoli, you can't even go out of the house first of all, very cold here. And inside also all carpets, where do you put it? And you can't have ants here. That's okay, I'm not talking about here. In India, we have this, once for every occasions, whenever you put rangoli, the rangoli we used to put with only rice flour. Use the rangoli. I showed Rodney Janal saw in Swamiji's village how the ladies were early morning, they used to put rangoli. Know why? It is a food for ants. It is for alankaram for you. It's a decoration for you. It's also food for feeding cows. How to feed tigers? Some people ask this question. How to feed tigers and lions? I want to Bhuta Yajna. Do only what is practical and what is possible. That does not mean you have to allow your dogs, having the dogs in your bedroom, on your bed. Don't go to the extreme extents, okay? Be kind to them. Don't hit them. Don't harm them. Don't cause any pain to them. Give them food is okay. Isn't it? We have to understand all these things. People interpret these laws to their own convenience. No. So, Bhuta Yajnaha. So, Deva Yajnaha, Manushya Yajnaha, Bhuta Yajnaha. Then we have Pitru Yajnaha. Pitru Yajnaha. Now, Pitru Yajnaha, performing Shraddham is ancestral worship. Worship of the ancestors. Because ancestral worship also is what? One of the forms of worshipping the Lord only. Please understand. So, worshipping means not just only I have to go to the temple and do only Abhishekam. No. These are all different forms of worship. Understand? There are many forms of worship, I said. Pancha Maha Yajnaha. That is why Mahatmas always emphasize service to society. You know, because nothing like serving, doing any service to society, people around, beings around, very good. But you should understand what is it for, what it can do. It's all for your mental purity. But the service, Panchamaha Yajnaha, will not give you moksham directly, will not free you from samsara directly. You only prepare your mind for knowledge. That's all it can do. But once you are mentally prepared, means you have to pursue knowledge and study Shastram and understand, attain jnanam, become free. So here, this Pitru Yajnaha means, that's why we have Varshika Tithihi, every once in a year, on the Tithi, the Indian calendar, we say Tithi is a date. In an Indian date is called Tithi, isn't it? So that particular Tithi, the day of the parents' the death, you do some, you know, remember them, think of them, and you perform the Shraddham, Arichukar Shraddham. This is Pitru Yajnaha. Sometimes people perform even Masika Tithi. Every month also they do, or once in a year they do. And on Amavasya days they do. Certain things are there. So people don't believe in all these things sometimes. Do I need it? If you don't believe, that's completely different. But Shastram says, Pitru Yajnaha, you know, ancestral worship. One, because they have given the body to you. They have left some property also behind you. If they have not given you anything, they have not given anything to me. Hardly some people say this also. Even if they have not given you anything, somehow they are instrumental for you to be here in this form. Isn't it? Therefore, the Pitru Yajna is very important. Because it's also a form of worship of Bhagavan only. Pitru Yajna, then last one is Rishi Yajnaha or Brahma Yajnaha. Rishi Yajnaha or Brahma Yajnaha. Brahma in this context means Veda. So worship of the Shastram, the worship of the Rishis, is also one of the forms of worship of the Lord. Worshipping the Lord only. Rishi Yajnaha, Brahma Yajnaha means what? Worshipping the Shastram, worshipping the Rishis means what? Doing a puja to the books? No. Studying the Shastram. Oh my God, I can't study Veda, I have no teacher. Immediately we always come out with all these impossibilities we come out with. What is possible, we should say. Even if I can't study all the Vedas, if I can't study all the Puranas, I have no time to do all those things. At least, no? Swadhyayanam, isn't it? At least every day, one should make it a point to study the Shastram little bit systematically. Not reading any book and reading anything. Reading one page of Ramayana one day, one page of Bhagavatam one day, and then seeing something here, something there. That is not the way. No, systematically, regularly, make it a point to study at least Bhagavad Gita. Or some Upanishad lectures, every day I should make it a point to listen to, you know, Vedanta Shastra Shravanam. Let me do at least little, let me listen to some teaching every day, or read something every day, what I've already heard and understood from the teacher. You should not just take any book and reading anything. Don't get confused like that. Okay, this is also called what? Studying the Shastram is Rishi Yajnaha. It's the only way you can pay your debts back to Rishis. Understand, is Rishi Yajnaha or Brahma Yajnaha. So we have this Pancha Maha Yajnas prescribed by the Shastram. You know, if you follow this Pancha Maha Yajnas to the extent possible, then you are living what now? A worshipful life. It is also following this Pancha Maha Yajnas is as good as performing rituals. Okay? This is how you propitiate the devatas, you propitiate, you tap the grace of Bhagavan, who is in the form of animals, plants and fellow human beings, form of the Shastram, who is the form of everything. Is it clear? Okay. This Panchamahayagya. Now here, I'm going to stop the class now. It's time now. I'm sorry. People are all away. Today, fortunately, everybody is so keen to listen. And tomorrow, we'll come back and continue. Okay? Because they're very kind. I'm very, very thankful to the people who have given this place. And we really pray to Bhagavan to bless them with the fulfillment of all the righteous wishes for really helping us to have our classes here. So let us not break. Let us not trouble them. So let us conclude the class and go. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.